This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Thank you for joining us today as we talk about starting the new year with a bang for your nonprofit. I'm Kristen Harper, the Director of Marketing at Convergent, and I'm happy to welcome two of our senior project directors to the show today, Annette Medlin and Carlotta Ungaro. These two women have very similar backgrounds and have actually been friends for years in addition to colleagues. They've both worked in nonprofit growth and development for more than 20 years and have successfully led three chambers of commerce each as a CEO. Annette was named Chamber Executive of the Year by the Carolinas Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives and is a frequent speaker, coach, and workshop facilitator. You guys have to bear with me while I brag on you for just a minute. Carlotta received her certified chamber executive status in 2013 and has specialized in building coalitions across diverse groups. You might have read Carlotta's writing, too, on our blog and Annette's as well. And I know, Carlotta, you're a contributor frequently to Forbes and Nonprofit Pro as well. So welcome, ladies. Thank you for being here, and let's talk 2020. Why don't we start by giving listeners an idea of what you all view as being the difference in 2020 versus past years for nonprofits.
Who would you like to go first, Kristen?
Carlotta, why don't you jump right in?
Well, I came up through the chamber and nonprofit world and the economic and political side of the arena. And especially this week of all weeks, the political environment does seem to impact how business operates and what they invest, as well as individuals invest in nonprofits. In fact, there was just an article this on the last week or two in Forbes magazine about this very thing. I noticed when I was working for a chamber in 2018 that people were putting off decisions on what to do until after the elections in 2016 too, but I noticed it even more so in 2018. They didn't know what the political environment was going to be, how it was going to sway. So that to me is something I think that we all need to pay attention to. Understand it's probably short term, that in November, after November, they will start making decisions again, and to just hang in there.
Yeah, that uncertainty is tough. Annette, yeah, what are you seeing?
Well, things also stay the same. And so I actually wrote a piece for the company last week and talking about some of those things. I think the difference is in the amplification of the nuances of those things that we've talked about frequently over the years, but now they're just more important than ever. And those are transparency and making sure that you're absolutely putting yourself out there in a way that is real and that your capacity is being represented accurately. And I think really important is going to be being fluid. You know, we talk about an economic downturn next year. We talk about a lot of different things. And plan A just doesn't always work out. So I think that's going to be a real pivot point in 2020, is just being able to be as flexible as you can with the current situation and the circumstances that surround your community.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you had, on that note, if you had a piece of advice for a nonprofit development professional in the coming year on how to make sure that their organization has that fluidity and has that transparency, what would your advice be for the development professional or the fundraising professional?
Well, I would definitely say on that same thought, and tapping into what Carlotta said, keeping up with trends is going to be more important than ever. So reading voraciously and looking at what other nonprofits are doing and some of those best practices that are coming online, but staying on top of them as they come on. And I'm a firm believer in, and you mentioned that Carlotta and I are friends as well as colleagues, and she's been one of my go-to people for years. And so we learn from one another. And so I think that's probably one of the most important pieces of advice for a nonprofit development professional, is staying connected with your peers and knowing what they're doing. And then that also helps with staying along or aligns with staying on top of trends.
Gotcha. Yeah, great. That's great advice. Carlotta, what about you?
Before I talk on my topic, I just want to point out to Annette, understand your peer strengths too. Annette has a very strong background on membership relations and communications. My strengths in public policy and strategy for getting agendas passed in the governmental arena. So know those strengths and tap into them and stretch that out. But I want to mention flexibility is important, but it's important to stay focused on your mission and know what your wheelhouse is. So many nonprofits will go down a path that may not be in line with their mission because maybe an investor has a very strong passion about it, but it's not exactly in their wheelhouse. It's important that whatever you decide to do within your organization fits what your mission is. I was listening to a Freakonomics podcast a few months ago, and they were interviewing Sylvia Acevedo. She heads up the Girl Scouts. And we're talking about their cookie campaign. We are all very familiar with the Girl Scout cookie campaign. But she made a very strong point that they don't sell cookies to raise money. They sell cookies because sales is a strong skill that every single Girl Scout needs to know and understand and use to their advantage. And if it was not so, they would not be selling cookies just to raise money. So make sure all your activities are on your mission statement and in line with what you need to do to deliver your mission.
I love that story, Carlotta. I forgot you shared that with me a month or two ago after you heard it. That's great. I had never thought of that. And now I look at every Girl Scout that rings my doorbell a little differently. I love it. So you're both currently working in the economic development world on campaigns. What do you see as the most important resolution for ED organizations in 2020 and chambers of commerce? Do you feel like that industry in particular may have something certain they should focus on or that you'd like to see a renewed focus on?
Yeah, so something that came up for me in the interviews for the study for the campaign that I'm currently working on was just a reminder. And I think it's really something important to remember as you move into a new year. Anybody that works even loosely in the economic development realm, everyone is very territorial and, you know, has their little piece of the pie, and they want to make sure that, you know, that they're the ones who are shining in that area. So during my interviews, repeatedly got questions about collaboration. So I think being highly collaborative is really, really important to remember. You know, is someone else doing the work that you are trying to do or proposing to do? If they are, is it a collaborative effort rather than you flying solo on that particular piece? You know, is there something where you can bring partners together to work on initiative? And on the other side of that, is there something that's absolutely not being done where you could fill a service gap and you could take the lead on something that you've identified that no one else is currently doing right now? I just found in these interviews that folks were highly sensitive to whether this was a duplication of effort or not. And I think it's really important to be sensitive to that.
That's a great point. Actually, in our first episode, Andy Coe mentioned the climate right now is just so competitive. So we were talking a little bit about the idea of the disappearing donor, and that donations to nonprofits overall have been going down a bit in the past year. And Andy had specifically talked about the fact that there are more nonprofits in the space right now than he's ever seen before. And so your point is fantastic because, yeah, not just going out there with your mission in mind, but who else may have complementary services, or what other nonprofits could you work with, or even for-profits. So what about you, Carlotta? Is there anything specific to the ED world or the Chamber of Commerce world?
Sure.
That you...
And what Annette was talking about, collaboration, that also goes back to the point I made earlier about staying on mission. When you collaborate with others then and clarify what you bring to the table, your value add, and not step into someone else's arena. I see that happen frequently with chambers of commerce and economic development organizations. The client I'm working with right now has a role in workforce development, but I had a lot of questions from potential investors to clarify what that role is, because they saw that they were not a provider of workforce development. So there is a role definitely for chambers in economic development in many arenas, and workforce development is one of the key ones. Sure. Just make sure you're communicating, which would be my second item on my list to encourage organizations to do. Chambers are better at this than I think economic development organizations are. I've worked recently in the past year with two different economic development organizations who had changed their strategy to include communications within their communities. Here in Rowan County, where I'm working, this initiative started a couple of years ago at the direction of their county commission. They had done a survey and found their local citizens just had a bad attitude about the community. It's a great community. So through their economic development organization, which partners with the Chamber of Commerce and the tourism organization in the county, started promoting positive messages internally about the community. And you sense that it's a much more positive attitude. When I was out interviewing for this project, there was such a positive outlook on how this community was going, even in light of all the issues going on at the federal level with the trade war going on at that time. When I was interviewing them, the automotive industry were having strikes and negotiating contracts that was impacting businesses here. A lot of outward forces creating bad news for businesses overall, but 86% of the people that I interviewed felt extremely positive about the future of the business community here. So that would be another message that I would pass on to people, is to make sure you're communicating with your investors, with your elected officials, with the stakeholders in the community. One of the things that I've done in several communities is developed a relationship with the local newspaper and do a column once a month about something in the community, not promoting chamber membership, not promoting anything self-serving for the chamber, but talk about issues and things going on in the community. And those articles went a long way in building trust with some of the sectors in the community that don't trust the business community and don't trust what government does in economic development. So staying on mission and communicating, along with Annette's being highly collaborative, I think are all great focuses for people in 2020.
I think Carlotta is so right on that, Kristen. That chambers and chambers particularly, because that's of course a huge part of my experience, are really not very good storytellers. And so they work diligently behind the scenes, on these projects that affect the entire community and yet don't share that story. And so becoming a really effective storyteller is so, so important to bringing everyone around the table with an understanding of what's going on and how it impacts the entire community.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I would agree. And that was perfect. I was going to ask for some specific examples, Carlotta, of what you see in the newspaper was a great example. So thank you. Yeah. Are there any closing thoughts you all have about 2020? I would bring up the closing thought in Annette's recent blog post for us, Six Ways of Being for 2020. I just loved her last way to be was to be about people. So, and that really goes into the three things that you did just lay out for us, but putting people first in each one of those is just I thought was a great, kind of a great closing thought to that blog. Are there anything you all would like to elaborate on before we close?
Yeah, I was going to bring that point back. And of course, that's one of our core values at Convergent. And it really is at the end of the day, all about the people that your community's serving. The Chamber of Commerce industry has a saying, if you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber. And that's because the work looks very, very similar, but the community you serve is different, very different. And so you have to have an understanding of the people that live and work and the businesses that exist in that community in order to really have an understanding of how to go about your fundraising and how to go about applying yourself to your mission that Carlotta mentioned.
I would just recommend everyone in the nonprofit world visit a book that came out several years ago, and it's Jim Collins' Good to Great for Nonprofits. I literally read it over lunch. It is short. It is sweet. Every nonprofit executive should have it on their desk and pull it out a couple of times a year and review it. it had so much information in such a small, thin book. It's a great investment, and I encourage everyone to read that.
Thank you so much, ladies, for your time. And listeners, thank you also for your time. Be sure to visit our website at convergentnonprofit.com if you'd like to know more, and subscribe to our podcast for tips and talk about fundraising successfully for your nonprofit in a for-profit world.